Do you know that when this country was put together, it says you have freedom of religion in the Constitution? But they failed to put, they took too much for granted. Do you know initially to become a state of the United States of America, you had to be a believing, you had to be a believing state in Jesus Christ? Now you could be a Methodist, you could be a Baptist, you could be a Pentecostal, but you had to be a believer in Jesus. If a nation came and said, we're Muslim, hey, we don't want nothing to do with you. We wouldn't even talk to you. If we're from India, we don't want nothing to do with you. We have freedom of religion to worship Jesus Christ, the one and only King and King, King of kings and Lord of lords. We have freedom of religion. But now we've taken that, we have freedom of religion to worship any God we want to. That's not the way it was originally planned. But they didn't specify sufficiently because they thought anybody would know that there's only one God. Isn't that something? That's what we used to think. There's only one God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But now then we have freedom of religion to worship anything, anything. It's just awful what happens here. So we don't prevent them from building these places of worship. And so we are absolutely creating a problem in America. But he didn't destroy these shrines either. So let's see what happened in verse 5. Verse 5. The Lord struck the king with leprosy. Who did that? Oh, God would never make you sick. Who's that say made him sick? I mean, is that what my Bible says? Your Bible says? You mean that's written in your book just like it is in mine? So you don't want to tick off the king, do you? Not if you want to be well, right? I mean, according to this, just think. You know, if you'd have asked me 20 years ago, do you think God would make you sick? You know what my answer would have been? What do you think I'd have said? No, God made me sick. Absolutely not. God would never make me sick. What'd that tell me? I had not read the book enough, right? Because right here, this is just one place. The Lord struck the king with leprosy. So where did his leprosy come from? From God, which lasted until the day of his death. He never did get healed. He lived in a house by himself. The king's son, Jotham, was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of that land. You know, you get to thinking, you know, gee, just because he didn't tear down those houses of worship to those foreign gods, is there anything else he might have done that ticked God off? I thought, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to do a search on this king all throughout the Bible, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to see what I find. Well, I found another story in 2 Chronicles 26, 1 through 23, that adds a whole lot to this story. You learn a whole lot of things from 2 Chronicles 26, starting with verse 1. In the King James, we'll see what this says. It's absolutely amazing. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. So we're talking about the same guy. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. Okay, verse 3 and 4. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. So that's the same guy, isn't it? Same one we just read about. His mother's name was Jecola of Jerusalem. Same, everything's the same so far. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. No, same guy, right? Everything's looking good so far. According to all that his father Amaziah did. So this boy had watched his daddy for 16 years, and his daddy obviously was a good king, and this young boy knew what was right and wrong, and so he had been listening to dad, and so he's going to rule. After dad died, he's going to rule in the same footsteps of his father. And so far, God's pleased with him. All right, 5 and 6. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was the prophet. And this king sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now then, if we had people in Washington, senators, congressmen, judges, president, and everybody else, if they got on their face before God every day and sought God, what kind of shape do you think this nation would be in? We wouldn't be where we are. But do you know we don't do that no more? Do you know they used to always open Congress with a prayer? And do you know almost every congressman now does not come in till after the prayer has been spoken? What does that tell you? We're not seeking God, are we? We're not talking to God. We don't go to Him and ask Him to bless us. You know, I mean, I think about right down here at the whenever the company I was, had worked for years, when they were bought by another company and they moved me over to another place here in the DFW airport as an engineer. And of course, I was had been with the company a lot of years before, and I was the regional director of engineering for this other corporation. And of course, this one made me just a local engineer over their whole thing at DFW airport. I had 35 men working for me down there. And so I called them in, got to know the men, and I told them I was a Christian, that every morning I'd get all the leads in together from the different buildings, and we would start everything with a prayer. I said, now, if you're not a Christian and you don't want to come, you don't have to come for the prayer, but you have to come for the meeting. So after I pray, if you don't want to be there, then you can come in because we're going to discuss business. But we ain't going to discuss no business until I pray and ask God to give me knowledge and wisdom how to run this facility, all these facilities. And so most of them came. I only had one that sometimes he wouldn't show up because he was not a believer in Jesus. Now, the one that wouldn't come, he was from a foreign country. I forget now which one it was. And him and his wife, they were Buddhist. So he didn't want to come to the prayer. But while they were there, his wife had a baby. And the delivery didn't go real well. And he had taken a week off to help her and recovery. But at the end of that week, she was still in bad shape. She couldn't get up. She was hurting. And so he came in and told me, he said, Thurman, I have got to have another week off. I know that our vacations, we bid them and all this stuff, and I bid this way in advance so I could be off with my wife when she had this baby. But he said, she can't take care of this baby. I've got to help her. So I've got to call upon your mercy to let me have at least another week of vacation. I said, no problem. But I said, I'll let you have the vacation upon one thing. He said, what's that? I said, that you let me pray for your wife before you leave. He said, okay, no problem. So I asked the Father in the name of Jesus. I laid my hands upon his shoulder. He's the head of the home, even though he's lost. I asked the Father in Jesus' name to do such a mighty miracle of healing on his wife that she would be up and going and healed. The bleeding that was still passing from her body would stop, and she'd regain her strength so quickly that he would know that it had to be my Jesus that did it. I said, Lord, thank you. He left. You know, he's a Buddhist. Sometimes even Christians don't know these things. Isn't that sad? He goes out. 3 days later, he comes back to my office and says, Mr. Scrivener, I got to tell you, you've changed my life forever. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, you prayed that prayer? I said, yes. He said, the next morning my wife was up, no bleeding. She was strong. I couldn't believe it. He said, she can get up. She nursed the baby by herself. Said, she's just strong. I just can't believe what happened in 24 hours. I said, well, believe it. The King of the universe touched her. I said, he touched her because I prayed for her. Now, if you're a child of God, is that same power in you? Yes, it is. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. And if you're walking in obedience to His Word, and you're in His Word, and you pray in faith, He'll do the same thing for you. Just think, this woman was a Buddhist. She was not a Christian. Do you think Jesus loves Buddhists? Yeah. Of course He does. He healed that little woman. Why did He heal her? Because of my faith. Not hers. She didn't have none, did she? He healed her because of my faith. He'll do the same thing for you. He loves people. He changed that couple. From that day forth, after I would start my prayer, guess who was always there? John was always there. Now, he would never show up until God done a miracle. But after God done a miracle, he was always come in the meetings. He was always there during the prayer. Never had been before. Isn't it amazing? But as far as I know, when I left the company, if he'd ever become a Christian, I didn't know it at the time. And that's sad. But I prayed for him and asked the Lord to give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding and convict him of sin and bring him into the kingdom of God and save him and his wife and his children. But as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, as long as you seek the Lord, what's he going to do for you? He's going to make you to prosper. Where does prosperity come from? From the Lord. Absolutely, from God. You know, it comes from God. And these are good things to remember. And he went forth and he warred against the Philistines and he broke down the walls of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Boy, this boy's a busy boy, isn't he? Now, all this, he's not 16 no more. He's got to be going 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. It takes time to fight wars and build cities, doesn't it? Yeah, so he's growing and he's seeking the Lord. Okay, 7 and 8. Let's see what happens here. And God helped him against the Philistines. Now, if God's helping you, you're in business, right? And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerberal and the whatever. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. As long as this boy is seeking God, as long as he's going to the prophet and inquiring of the prophet, and the prophet's interceding with him to the Father and everything, this boy serving God, is this nation of Israel being blessed? Absolutely. Is he being blessed? Yeah. How many of us want to be blessed? How many of us don't no sickness and disease in our life? Hey, praise the Lord. Well, he's going good. No sickness, everything's going good. 9 and 10. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.